Good morning. It's great to be back joining you for the Bible reading today, which is taken from Galatians 3, 15 to 22. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise.
Sorry. Sorry, my Bible reading is not fully printed. There we go. Sorry about that. It could be that's fine. No, that's fine. That could be a symbol of today. I know what I'm going to speak nearly all the time, okay, about 99% of the time. I'm actually a little bit unsure today, so that's quite a good idea that the Bible reading didn't quite all happen. I'm pretty sure I kind of know where we're going, but it might go a slightly different direction, so I'm just going to give you a bit of a warning. And if you've got a comment you want to say on the way through, please do that, okay? So a little bit, have you played that game where you get a coin and you go driving down the road, and when you come to an intersection, you toss the coin, and heads is left and tails is right. And you just kind of end up where you end up. If you've never played it, it's a great fun game to play with grandchildren. But I kind of know where we're going, but I have a little bit of a feeling it might go slightly different. One of the things I love is crime fiction. And whenever you are watching crime fiction, there's normally a part in the show where the person who is a victim of the crime, or they've lost a loved one or something, will say to the detective, "Promise me you'll catch them." And the idea is that as a detective, you never ever promise that you can catch the person because you can't guarantee in it. But often people will say that, and that'll be kind of the tension in the show. You know, I've made this promise that I'm going to solve the crime, but I just can't seem to do it. Promises are really, really important, and when promises are broken, it breaks people's hearts. You know, when we break our promises as parents, when we break our promises as our partners, when we break promises as friends or as workers or as politicians. Think about, we are so hard on our politicians all the time, but start to think about the promises you have broken and I have broken. And maybe we wouldn't be quite so hard. Somebody did a study, the Forbes group did a study of Trump versus Biden in their first 100 days. And Trump lied or told a falsity 58% of the time, and Biden was 50% of the time. And we hear that and we absolutely crucify them, in some ways rightly, when they say things they shouldn't say. But how often do we make promises and don't keep them? A little bit like some of those story books that we tell, liar, liar, pants on fire. Ever had that told to you? You know, or Pinocchio, where the nose just gets longer every time you lie. Aren't we lucky that doesn't actually happen? Or the boy who cried wolf. So many of these stories that we tell our children about keeping promises. But this is what researchers tell us, that the average person tells 1 to 2 lies a day. That's kind of the minimum. There's your third one for the day already. Yeah. And some people say it's up to 10 to 15 lies. Now, when they're talking about lies, they're talking about all the things we do to avoid getting in trouble, all the things we do to not offend somebody. Does my bum look big in this dress? You know, that kind of comment. All the things that we say just to be polite, but if we are truthful, often those are lies or breaking of promises. But in actual fact, sometimes maybe there are some things we ought not to say. So maybe it would be better off not to say something rather than to make it out to be a lie. In the beginning of the Bible reading, it says this: the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It's about 900 years, actually 1800 years, sorry, between Abraham and Jesus coming. So God made this promise that took 1800 years to come about. And I'm sure a lot of the people of God were saying, God, you've made a promise, but you haven't kept your promise. It is really important that a promise delayed is not a promise broken. That God can make a promise and that he's reliable in making his promise. See, God is into promise keeping. And I wonder, are we people who are also into making and keeping our promises? In Christmas, we actually have Jesus, the one that was the promise made to us. Next week, we're going to talk about the second part of this Bible reading about the seed and how Jesus is the seed. That was the promise. But I just want us here to think about, is God somebody we can trust to keep his promises? See, how we live our entire lives, the way that we relate to our workers, our friends, our family, the neighbours, the people we walk down the street with, how we relate to that in very large part depend on whether we believe God is a promise keeper. You know, when the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, when the Bible says that God is for us and not against us, when the Bible says that God only acts out of love even when he punishes and disciplines us, do we actually believe that God is a promise keeper? That he's worthy and trustworthy? Because that's a foundation upon which we build our lives. Now, you might notice down the bottom of our little banner here, it says a church anybody can come to. And then it's got some values. These are not values that the board actually agreed to. These are values that I hold really strongly to what it means to be a church, and so I speak about them all the time. But we talk about the values of welcome, worship, wonder, word, and works. Now, how do you discern God's promises to you? I believe you can use those values to think about how you discern God's promises. Because one of the problems we have is sometimes we say God has made a promise to us when God actually hasn't made a promise to us. So there's kind of two problems. One, we don't actually believe the promises God has made to us. We don't really believe them. And two, we take things that God has said and make them as a promise to us. And when they're broken, we get really disheartened. So we've got to understand the promises God actually makes to us. So does God promise that we're not going to get sick and unwell? Well, look around and you've got to say God's breaking a lot of promises if that's the promise. Does God promise that life will never be difficult? Does he? So sometimes we can talk to people about God and act as if God will be the one that comes and fixes our marriages, our work, our income, our addictions, everything. If only come to God and all of this stuff will be sorted out. And then people come and God doesn't keep that promise, because they may not actually be the promises that God has made to us. Now, I would say in amongst our sickness and our struggles and our difficulties, we have this deep peace from God. That is the promise of God, that we can know something about what it knows to live at peace, but not without difficulty, but within difficulty. So when I ask, what is the promises God is making for me? I ask these four questions. The first one is this, and it's to do with welcome. Does this promise drive me to a deeper experience of God? Am I feeling welcomed by God more by this promise? See, ultimately at the heart of all faith is this, an experience of God. And God will do what God will do to drive you to a deeper experience of Him. For some people that will be joy, and some people that will be difficulty. Some people that will be health, and some people that might be sickness. But the question is, God's promise is always about drawing you into a deeper experience of who He is. So if you are holding a promise that you believe God has made to you, are you drawing deeper and deeper into who, that relationship that you have with God? Because ultimately the Bible says when everything else gets wiped away, that's the only thing that gets left. It says all the gold and the silver in the world and all the things will be wiped away, but ultimately our relationship is the ultimate thing behind that. The second thing I ask is, does it turn my heart in deeper understanding of who He is? Not only am I in relationship with Him, I start to worship Him more for who He actually is. When I get a promise from God, does it drive me into worship? To place Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords. Place Him as the one who is worthy of all worship, of all honour, to place Him in the highest place. The third thing it should do, and these are kind of connected, but does it turn me in wonder? That is, do I start to tell others about the glory that of God? Am I able to say, in amongst what God is doing, I give glory to the God who is above all things? I've got to say, I think that may be one of the struggles we have as a congregation. One of the things is we are not always overly articulate about giving God glory for what He's doing. It's just one of the things I've noticed. In our Bible study on a Wednesday night, we struggle with this a little bit. All the other groups I've been into, when I ask people to say, what has God been doing in your life lately? This is the one that I find people struggle with the most. I think it's because we think that God has to be doing great things for us to give Him glory about those things. I think we've got to learn the fact that I got to wake up this morning is something for which I should give God glory and honour. The fact that I have a wife and I have children, I have grandchildren, sometimes that all works well and sometimes it's a stress, but in amongst I've got relationships and all the things that God has given to me. You know, one of the things they say in psychology nowadays, and most of what they learn in psychology that works, you'll find in the scriptures somewhere. And they say now it is a really good habit to have gratitude. You know, it's the big word. It's simply another way of giving God the glory. To say, isn't it wonderful what God has done? And to recognise those things. And to be able to say to people, not that, you know, how's your life going? Oh, good. It's saying, no, God did this week. It's starting to see that God is actually in action. See, there's different ways of viewing God. There's a deist view. And a deist view simply says, God set up the world to operate and then He left it to carry on. And I've got a feeling a lot of people who walk with God actually act as deists, not as theists. A theist believes God is actively involved in the world. The Bible actually says that without His will, nothing would continue. If God stopped acting for even a microsecond, the world would fall apart. That every atom, every electron, everything that operates because God keeps it operating all the time. And so starting to see God at work, Now, one of the things that I've been noticing, I've been getting into more and more of a habit of going for a long walk every morning. Every morning I run into somebody. Every morning. And I'm just learning more and more. I'm the kind of person who puts my headphones in and I'm listening to an audio book or I'm listening to a podcast and I'm doing my work, walk, and I'm looking at my time and I'm going, am I keeping my pace and am I listening? And I'm having to learn more and more that when I see them 100 metres down the road, take my headphones out, put them in the pocket so I haven't got an excuse, maybe walk across the road, often they're on the other side of the road, and just go and have the conversation, just to say hello. Because I really believe that God has more in my walk than me having a walk. That God has set things up so that I'm constantly running into people. And so just building relationships. But the trouble is too often we think that kind of God is not active and we don't see what God is doing. We need to give him more glory and honour. The next thing we need to see is this promise in line with the revelation of the Bible? Now, it doesn't actually have to be in the Bible, but it's in line with God's revelation. So, for example, it was Moses in the bush, wasn't it? I always get Moses and Abraham mixed up. Moses came along to that burning bush, and he didn't go, burning bush, is it in the Bible? Because the Bible was being written at the time anyway. But he didn't go back to their scriptures that were there and say, burning bush, yes, it's from God. So not everything. David dancing naked down the streets wasn't kind of God saying, go do that kind of thing. He was giving glory to God. There are strange things in the Bible. But is it in line with the character of God? So we should never take as a promise from God something that is outside of his character. And the last thing is that our God's promises extending the reign of his kingdom in us and in others. See, this thing that we have was never intended for us to have this thing and keep it for us. Now, we all have different ways of sharing faith, okay? These two have been out sharing lifesavers this week. I think you guys shared 80 homes, at least 80, and Anne. And as I was walking this morning, I was listening to Experiencing God with a guy, Henry Blackaby, and he was talking about sharing faith. And I'm going, am I meant to be out with these guys knocking on doors and sharing lifesavers? I kept on asking that question of me, and I got to the end of my walk with a great relief, thinking, no, actually, that's not the particular way that I go out and connect with people. And that's okay, because I'm doing it in my own ways. But these guys in this, and what they've done, is they've gone and knocked on doors and just had conversations with people, given a lifesaver, and they were extending the kingdom of God, or at least offering the invitation. So I had the microphone because I knew you were going to say something.
Well, the card we gave out had a picture, right, and on the back had the writing to say, hey, you're welcome most to here all the time. But on the bottom of there, it talks about a bit of about a parable and about Jesus is the lifesaver, the lifesaver. That's where that ties in, okay?
Yeah, and I just think it's, and I've been saying to Anne, I can't remember if I said this last week, Anne came and got the cards off me a while ago at Rooms. And then she talked about with everybody else. She had a conversation with all these people in a way that I can't. But she had some of those conversations because I have had those conversations with some of them too. That in amongst it, she was doing one thing and I was doing another. And it wasn't that either one of us should felt guilty. The question is, in me acting out of the promises of God, am I extending the kingdom of God around me? And what I find is when I do that, that's always hard, but it extends something about my heart as well. It changes me when I'm involved in the work of the extension of the kingdom of God. So I want us to really just reflect. I haven't gone as deviated as I thought, but I just want to... God's most important promise is Jesus, of course. And we celebrate that this week. And some of us might feel is we don't have an opportunity to extend faith over Christmas. But are you praying for everybody that you're going to come in contact with over Christmas? Have you got their names, and are you bringing them before the kingdom of God? Because one of the promises of God is this, and I don't understand this one, is that when we pray, God does something. And that there are some things that will never happen if we don't pray. I don't get that. But that's what God has said. And so at the very least, are we praying for every one of them? And I keep on reminding me, I'm praying for every one of you. Every couple of weeks, my little prayer cards come out and I pray for you. And one of the biggest things that I pray about for us is that we have a relationship with God in such a way that we can't help but want others to have that same thing. We are not inviting them into something that we don't already have. And if we don't already have it, we ought to get it as the most important thing. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a promise maker, that you are a promise keeper. And we pray that we would be people who more and more hear your promises and live according to the promises that you have made for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.